every day, me and you. The Good News and Shoes.
This is the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
Good News and Shoes.
Welcome to Kingdom Ministries International with Pastors Freeman and Twana Williams, where we love families, change neighborhoods, and impact communities with the gospel of the kingdom. We are convinced you will hear and see God's love for you as you advance towards your fulfillment of your life's purpose in Christ.
Go through, you'll find the basin.
Yes.
Come on.
Yes.
That's the outer court.
Yes.
He said, if you get through, you'll find the candles.
Yes. Uh-huh.
That's the inner court. He said, but when you finally get in there and you get past the scarlet curtain, he said, there you will find the Ark of the Covenant.
My God.
That's the Holy of Holies.
Yes, glory, glory.
So he's saying this very clearly. Most of us have been in the outer court so long we're tired.
Come on.
Because we have no understanding of the resurrection. Some of us have moved to the inner court and we're excited, but we stopped with our excitement. He's saying today, because of the resurrection and the veil being rent, you can now go into the Holy of Holies. In the Holy of Holies is where the seed germinates.
Amen, amen.
That's it.
Come on. In his presence is where the seed leaves the seed format and it takes root and you begin to see the manifestation. Not in years, in moments.
Yes.
Not in years, in moments.
Yes.
Remember, Moses did not argue that he... Man, this is heavy.
Right.
Moses did not argue that he wanted to destroy children of Israel. He just reminded him what he said.
In his word.
Yes.
Come on. Because he had... I'm going off, but I got to go here so you can get this. Because he had already said something. He said this very clearly. He said, I'm going to come and help you in Genesis 3:15. He said, now put enmity between thy seed and her seed. He shall bruise your heel, but you shall crush his head.
Yes.
That word seed in the Hebrew literally represents or means children.
Yes.
Come on. So he's saying there's going to be a battle in the world. The children of Satan are going to try to come against the children of God.
Yes.
And he said, it's going to look like he's winning, but I'm going to send a representative to ensure that the offspring of the Most High is victorious.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
That's what he said. My children are going to win.
Yes.
That's why later on in the writing, Paul said, and remember, the children of the world of the devil who do not receive you. He said that. The children of the evil one, Satan, who do not receive you. He said, don't concern yourself with them. Get from among them and don't do what they do. He said, that's what you formerly did when you didn't know him. He said, but now come out from among them and be ye separate.
Yes.
That's why he said, what fellowship has light with darkness and with clean with unclean?
Right.
He's saying, you've already won. Why would you go back to a loss?
Amen.
Why would you go back to a loss and you've already, woo, that's heavy. And you go back to a loss. He said, I don't even understand what you're doing. So he's trying to get you to understand the seed format. Because what we've done is we have all this word. We talk about how much we believe here. But you're going to see today the sieve is where we need to live. Because the sieve activates our seed. And the seed activates our harvest. It brings our future into our now.
Yes.
Amen.
That's what the resurrection. Resurrection got rid of time. Boy, this is heavy now and I'm stepped over. Resurrection got rid of time. We were living in time, and the curse of time that we were living in was hell, death, and the grave. That's the things he conquered, hell, death, and the grave, because they were a punishment for our disobedience, and they were all led by time. And that's why everybody feared to die, because they knew they only had a certain amount of
time,
and they would face hell, death, and the grave. So he obliterated hell, death, and the grave, and he took us from temporal time into eternal time. That's what he did. And as long as we don't understand that, we will continue to labor for what he's given us rest for.
Amen.
Because we're supposed to rest in his name.
Right.
We're supposed to depend on his reputation.
Right.
And we've been dependent on ours.
Amen.
True.
And you get mad.
True.
I'm saved. Why am I not doing better? He's saying, because you're trying to do my job.
Amen.
Come on, talk to me this morning now. You're trying to be me and you don't even understand what's going on. You're trying, listen to me, you're trying to get a Bentley when I'm, as a generation of things, way greater than the Bentley. You're only focusing on the Bentley. Focus on me and I'll show you not only how to get the Bentley, but to ensure your children's 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 up until 1,000 generations are covered until I come.
Amen.
You're settling for a Bentley. I never told you in the word I'll give you a Bentley. He said, I'll give you all things that pertain to life and godliness. Why are you only asking for a Bentley?
Yes.
Come on, come on, come on.
It's God's reputation on the line, not yours.
Yes.
You're trying too hard to be God, and you're frustrating yourself.
Yes.
And you're getting mad. I'm reading for hours. I'm praying for hours. He said, look, if I didn't call you to do certain things, why are you doing them?
Amen.
Why are you mad with me about your reputation? That's why Christ had an advantage that nobody else talked about until later on Paul was writing by the Holy Spirit. He said, and he made himself of no reputation. That's a powerful statement. You don't understand the fullness of it. I can't give it all to you, but I'm going to let you see it for a second. What he's saying is when he came to earth, there was so much more that he left than you can imagine.
Right.
Much more. When he said he left his deity, remember, in his deity, whatever he said was so. In his assignment, he had to wait and get permission.
Yes.
Oh, boy. In his deity, if he wanted something, he just thought about it. In his assignment, he had to say it.
Yes.
In the satanic system, you have to say stuff in order to get a result or do an activity in order to get a penalty.
Yes.
In God's kingdom, you think it.
That's it.
Amen.
Come on. Whatever, so whatever a man thinketh,
so is he.
So if you think you broke,
you're broke.
If you think you poor,
you're poor.
If you think you're sick,
you're sick.
If you think you're down and out, whatever a man thinketh,
so is he.
Come on.
That's in this kingdom.
Yes, it's true.
Come on, that's deep, but that's where it is. Because God's reputation is on the line. He can't bring you out until he changed your mindset.
Yes.
Come on.
That's right.
You can't take a person who has no ability or no management skills and give them $1 million on Wednesday. By Thursday, they will be broke.
Yes.
Because they're outspending all the stuff they want. They don't understand about taking 10% and putting that aside and putting the rest away. They don't understand how to find investments. They don't understand how to roll their money. They don't understand how to hire a CPA. They don't understand how to have discipline. They don't understand how to buy a nice car, not the most expensive car, because they don't understand how to do that. Come on. You can buy a nice home. You don't need to go to Star Island. Come on. Because remember, today you on Star Island, tomorrow you got to pay the taxes. Come on. So today you a millionaire. Tomorrow you in chapter 11. But you don't think it happens. It happens all the time. This is why God says, I got you. Let my reputation be on the line. Let's watch. God is not, he has no problem with his reputation. He will protect it. Oh boy. God will protect it. Christ had an issue. He settled it. Go to Isaiah 65, please. Are you getting something?
Yes.
Isaiah 65. You see where I want to go quickly? No, I don't want to go there first because I'm going to mess you up. Write this down, please. You ready?
Yes.
God, this is going to be a long one. I'm going to say it three times. God never asks you to defend his name or reputation. But as you obey his word, God will defend your righteous cause for his namesake and reputation. I'll read it again. God never asks you to defend his name or reputation. But as you obey his word, God will defend your righteous cause for his namesake and his reputation. I'll read it again so you can write it down. I know some of you are fast writers like I am and some of you are not. I'm in the not boat. God never asks you to defend his name or reputation. But as you obey his word, God will defend your righteous cause for his namesake and his reputation. God never told you when he gave you a new job making $150,000 to go buy a house for $2 million. Come on, I'm just being practical here. What we do, we get increase and we go spend it before we get into the account. There's a gentleman, I won't mention his name for the sake, but he's a very well-known producer. He makes movies and stuff. And they came to his house, and they looked at his house, and they said, you know, why do you live here with all the money you have? He said, because this is fine. He has two cars. He has a ton of money. They're like, well, why do you have that? He has a 1994 Lexus truck. 1994-95 Lexus truck that he has, and he had a whole thing reconditioned and everything, new motor. Probably costs about $22,000 to do everything, $25,000. He drives that. They said, well, you can get any car you want. He said, this is what I like. He said, it's not about what you have. He said, it's about taking care of what you have.
Yes.
Now, that's the statement Jesus made, and we don't understand it. He said, how is it that the children of darkness are wiser than the sons of light? How is it that they know their system so much that they'll make $300,000 in a month and they'll live off $50,000?
Yeah.
We make $300,000 and we want to live off
$500,000. Yes.
And then we want to attach false faith and tell God to move and they give us another
$200,000.
Come on, talk to me now. If he could not trust us with the
$300,000,
what are your chances of getting the other
$200,000?
Say zero.
Zero.
Come on, say zero.
Zero.
Because your $200 is what you're selling off to get $200. Another,
right.
So in other words, you're going to have to sell some stuff. Well, God's not fair. No, no. He's protecting his reputation.
Amen.
Because if he starts you off, remember Jesus said this, if you can't be faithful over another man's, come on, who will give you what is your own? So if I can't take care, if Mike and I are riding together and we're in Mike's vehicle, and Mike says, I want to get out and wash my vehicle, and I sit in it and watch him wash it, he's washing it, and I'm sitting there washing him, watch it and everything, dry it. I get out while he vacuums, sit on the side, texting people on my phone. And when he get done, I get in there and say, Mike, can I borrow your car later? Come on now, let's be real. Without no cuss words, what would you say? Come on, what would you say if I asked? Come on. Come on, what would you say? Say no. Everybody here, say
no.
Why? Because you saw how I treated the car. So if you give it to me, you've accepted every dent I'm going to put in it.
Right.
You've accepted every stain I'm going to put in it. Because I just showed you I have no 100% no investment at all about this car. I'm watching you sweat and do all this stuff, do everything. I'm sitting on the side. And when it's all said and done, can I borrow your car tonight? And if you give me the keys, that's on you.
That's right.
But if I'm out there with you, and I'm washing with you, and I'm vacuuming, and I'm beating you doing stuff, and I'm telling you, relax, I'll do it. It's not about me asking for the car. It's about me valuing you.
Yes.
Are you seeing that? I'm valuing you. That's what you don't understand. God's reputation is about valuing you.
Amen.
That's what he did. He valued us. When Jesus was, let me tell you something. I got to tell you this because for time's sake, we've got to get to the other part. Jesus did something that was so incredible. We read it all the time in Isaiah, and I'm not going to go there for time's sake because it's a long one, and you really read it, it's very, very powerful. When he talked about the coming Messiah, and he said, and it pleased the Lord to bruise him.
Yes.
That's a powerful statement.
Yes.
God found pleasure in killing his son.
Amen.
Because he understood what was coming after.
Right.
In Isaiah, because you haven't read it, it's there. Jesus talks about the fact of what he was dealing with before he got to the garden. He talks about the mental anguish and the pain that's in his soul. In our language, it's called toil. In the Garden of Gethsemane, that's the fulfillment of Isaiah. He's there and his soul is in torment with his flesh because they are going to have to suffer everything he saw in heaven.
Yes.
Because remember, the lamb was slain first in heaven before he was slain on the earth.
Yes.
That's why he was slain on the earth, but they brought the evidence to the world.
Right. Amen.
That's why in the writing it says the lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world, not the earth.
Yes.
He's saying the lamb was slain before the orderly arrangement. So watch this. So all the turmoil and stuff he was going through, that's why the writer said, and he prayed until his drops of blood came from him like sweat. Because it was such a hard thing for him. Because he's on the rock, and he's the rock.
Yes.
He has his hand on a big